Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower clear.
Welcome to ET First Contact Radio. My name is Maarten Horst, I'm your host this every week. And my guest today is Deborah Leval, and she's the author of The Magic Doorway into the Divine. At the age of 29, Deborah Leval, master counselor, facilitator and author of The Magic Doorway into the Divine, had a life-altering mystical experience along with a profound physical healing that awakened her to her own true nature. Since that time, Deborah has facilitated groups and individuals to help them more fully realize the potential of their own radiant self. In this long-awaited offering, Deborah opened heart of immense knowing and compassion is freely shared with those eager to experience the journey home, to their own heart of knowing and the timeless fulfillment, the place where all doubts dissolve into love and rest in the sanctuary of the self. So, Deborah, welcome to the show. Welcome to ET First Contact Radio.
Thank you, Maarten. It's great to be here.
Yes, it's great to have you. And finally, we could figure out a date to make it possible to do an interview, because it was quite complicated. But finally we are here and we are live.
It's terrific, yeah.
Yes, and we're happy with all the listeners that are listening all over the world to share this information. So why don't you tell us about your awakening experience when you were 29 years old?
Okay. Well, I was 29, as we just said. And at that time, I was a model and a dancer. And I had a deep longing, though, that was unknown to me. I didn't know what this thing was that was sort of torturing me. Mm-hmm. I thought it was children that I longed for. But I was having trouble, and I couldn't have children. So I went to a specialist, and right. He said that my uterus had actually dissolved, and I would never, ever have children. I would never, ever menstruate again. So that was the end of it. So at that point, I was devastated because, you know, at that, I really wanted to have children. So I sought out all kinds of healing modalities and medical avenues. And what I did finally was I did a meditation retreat. Mm-hmm. And I had what they call a direct experience of the truth or enlightenment. I had an enlightenment experience of who and what I really am. And it was the most profound moment I'd ever experienced up until that point.
Right.
I experienced such absolute love, and it was a love that went far beyond the confines of just our body and our mind. It was something so great and so unforgettable. And a miraculous healing soon followed this experience. So everything grew back. The organ that I was having trouble with just grew back right away as normal.
Wow.
Shortly thereafter. So it was a miracle. So my journey started with a miracle. And perhaps I needed a miracle because I was a bit skeptical at the time.
Yes.
So that's how it started. And from that point on, I've been studying with masters. And I mean, that was many years ago. And I've had many, many such experiences since. And the one thing that runs through all the experiences is love and oneness. Love and oneness.
Yes.
And that's more what my work is focused on. My first book, The Magic Doorway into the Divine, where I relate that experience, then led into my second book, which is now being launched right now, as a matter of fact, called Leap to Freedom, Healing Quantum Guilt. And what I recognized is that guilt is the greatest separator between ourselves and enlightenment.
I do agree with you here. That's very important what you're saying, but I will comment on that later. Please continue, Deborah.
Yeah. And so that's why I wrote the second book, Leap to Freedom, Healing Quantum Guilt, because I did a lot of research. I thought, okay, I'm going to find out what this guilt is, because when you're in an enlightenment experience and you're in the experience of absolute truth and oneness, there is no guilt. There is no separation. There is nothing. There's no judgment. Actually, all of those qualities are completely erased, and you're just with your divine self. And yet, our world is so based on this separation and this guilt and this fear. And so I wanted to find out, okay, what is really going on? So as I researched, I discovered that this guilt that we think we have, it's not what we think it is. It's not just an existential guilt or a psychological guilt. It's a core guilt that is underneath everything that we experience in life. And the reason for it, and I've studied the masters and A Course in Miracles, the reason for it is that we have a belief that we've separated from our very source. So we believe we've separated from our source, when in fact we haven't. So we're living somewhat of a lie in our world by having this belief. So Leap to Freedom, why I wrote it is it turns that belief right around on its heels. So we, even with the help of scientists and masters, we see that we are already one with the divine. We've never separated. The rest is an illusion, and it's a lie. So that's pretty much the core of my book, Leap to Freedom. So I'm quite excited about it.
Yeah, well, it's so true what you're saying, because in my life, all my experience that I have, it's so true, and I see it in many other friends, people's life, that guilt is really the core of not becoming enlightened, because it's holding us back. It's a very deep-rooted problem from our culture, this feeling of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that you know, soon things will change also in the outer world, because I feel that we all need to focus on love and oneness and embrace each other as one species, one living entity of this planet. We all, the core of our being, the most important energy in the universe is love.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Love is everything. And this work that I do is yogic in nature. And why I say that is because yoga means union. And everyone does yoga and all sorts of wonderful postures. But the real union is what we need to look at, because that's what stops us from love, Martin, you know. Is it not? You know, is our lack of union, our lack of sense of oneness with ourselves and each other. So we don't look at a person and see a divine being over there. We look at a person and see someone with, you know, having a bad hair day or...
Yeah.
You know, we're not seeing each other for who and what we really are. And that is the core of all of our problems in life, is not knowing who we are, first and foremost, and secondly, not seeing each other from the perspective of love.
Exactly, yeah. So can you give us a few clues, a few skills that you have that we can use to better our lives, to better our feeling of how we can go on the day, how we look at people, how we look at ourselves? Can you give us any clues?
Well, I'm going to give you a dream I had shortly after my first enlightenment experience. And it was the absolute antithesis of the oneness. And it was quite an interesting dream, because it was like a yogic teaching. What it was showing me is, it was actually a gift and a warning of what's to come and what we have to work with in order to come from that love and oneness. And it's quite an intense dream. Are you up for that, Martin? Do you want to hear my dream?
Yes, totally, because I like dreams. I also remember my dreams. Dreams are very important for me, so please share it.
Okay, sure. All right, so in this dream, I was in a garden fashion show, because I used to model when I was younger. And they told me in the dream, walk to the end of the path. It was a beautiful garden. Walk to the end of the path and turn back, or turn left when you get to the end of it. So I'm walking through this path, beautiful flowers and trees, and I had this lovely dress on because I was modeling. And I get to the end of the path, and they told me at the beginning, but I had forgotten, they said that you'll see a black woman sitting at the table, and she will tell you to turn left. So I'm approaching the black woman at the table, and she points to the left. She wasn't smiling or anything, so it didn't make me feel really happy in the dream. But anyway, I turned left and I walked into this other area, and this other area was kind of like dead. I mean, it didn't have any energy to it. And so I thought, okay, I'll just do my job. So I walked along this path, and I noticed that everything was crunching underneath my feet, and I thought, well, this is summer. Why is, you know, everything crunching? The sound feels like fall. So as I kept walking, I started becoming fearful, and I didn't know why I was fearful. But I kept doing my job. I kept walking, and then I came to the end, and there was this huge barbed wire fence all around me, and I knew I had to turn back. So as I turned back, I was sweating. I was feeling this fear arise in me. And as I was walking, all these things that were crunching underneath my feet became demons. And they rose up and they were trying to attack me, grab at my face. And I was terrified, and I kept trying to deflect these demons. And they were coming in all kinds of forms. They came in mental forms. They came in physical forms. They came in fear-based forms. And then I just about reached a point of terror and not knowing what to do. And this voice came and said to me, "If you make those demons real, even for an instant, they will kill you." So in that moment, I recognized what I was supposed to learn. And so I began to say, "You're not real. You're not real." And so when these demons would come and approach me, I would say, "You're not real. You're not real." And then they would dissolve, disappear. And this kept going on. They would keep coming, and I would keep saying, "You're not real. You're not real." And then I finally got to the end of the path after basically being in the war. And when I got there, I turned left again, and I was in the garden, but the garden had disappeared, and it was a whole different space. It was like a deep maturity had happened inside of me, where I had this beautiful experience. I had this oneness and love. I experienced it, but I had to deepen it. I had to understand at a deep level what we're up against, what we're all up against all the time, is these parts of our mind that make us feel unworthy, make us feel guilty, fearful, prideful, angry. I mean, this is the core. This is that core unconscious guilt, or quantum guilt that I call it in my second book. This is the core guilt that we all deal with. This is even the root of war itself. This is what we deal with in our world. And this comes at us. These demons come at us, you know, maybe more on some days than others, but we all can recognize this. And so that's the one thing I got from that. Well, there's a few things that you can imagine, but the big thing that I got from that is to not make it real. Don't make it real. It's not the truth. You are not that. And no matter how many spiritual experiences we've had, this is the inner work, facing the demons and saying, "No, you're not real." Mm-hmm. Then reaffirming to ourselves that we are love. It's kind of like a mantra or affirmation that we are one with love, until we not only believe it, until it becomes our new identification and replaces the one where we believe ourselves to be small, insignificant, bad, unworthy, etc.
Yes, exactly. Well, I can tell you, Defra, I've had a similar dream.
Oh, great.
I will tell you about it. I was walking, actually, the night before I went out into a pub, and I had my eye on a nice girl. She looked very beautiful. But I noticed that there were several men wanting her for the same reason as I did. So I went back home and went to sleep, and then I had a dream. And in the dream, I was back at the bar, and I saw the girl sitting there, and I saw demons hanging around her, sucking away her sexual energy, and I saw the demons around the men that were standing there in the bar as well. And then I heard a voice say, "Take away my I am presence." And then it was a terrifying feeling that I had. And in the dream, I had to cry. And then I heard a voice for myself, my higher self, and the voice said, "Give me back my I am presence." And what it meant to me, it's really life, a life lesson for me, is that not the physical, not the outer, not the the way people appear to be attractive, that this is not the most important. The most important is to have your I am presence. And when you are standing in your I am presence, you can attract all kinds of nice people. But the way this happened in the bar, with loud music and people drinking, that's not the way to attract people to you. That's giving away your I Am presence with alcohol and drugs and etc. So it was a very profound experience, this dream.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's you know, very important dream.
Yes, yes. Because your I Am presence is in the here and now, and you don't need to look for people or to look for physical pleasure in order to have your I Am presence, because you're giving away your I Am presence if you do that. And if you are in confidence with yourself, if you are strong, and if you are loving to yourself, then people will, you will attract people in a positive way.
That's beautiful, Martin. Thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful.
Yeah. That was a very clear dream, very clear, very bright, and the voices were so strong to say, give me back my I Am presence, because, you know, if you are in your I Am consciousness, then you can help many people and help yourself and be a great teacher for the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's wonderful how these dreams can give us so much if we really pay attention, isn't it?
It is, yes. Dreams are very important, very important. And I thought maybe, because we're speaking about dreams, to play a little piece of music if you want.
Sure.
And then we, after that, we continue.
And absolutely.
Yeah. A musician that always helped my imagination, his name is Vangelis. He's a great artist. And I would like to play something on Blade Runner. It's called Deckard's Dream. Have you seen the film Blade Runner, Devra?
I haven't seen it, but I've read about it. I haven't seen it, no.
You're
but
right.
I'm up for film music any day.
Okay. Well, here's Deckard's Dream from Vangelis.
Thank you.
discovered that was Deckard's Dream, followed by Love Theme from the same album from Vangelis.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, Martin.
I heard from a person that he said that Vangelis had a lifetime or many lifetimes in Atlantis, and that is why he creates such amazing music that helps to imagine another world, a better world.
Yeah, that does touch. It's true.
It's very imaginative music.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we were speaking about your dream and then about my dream, and now we are in the second half hour of this interview. Or I would like to call it conversation, because I don't want to make a difference between you and me, because we are having an equal conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. And is there anything important you want to share with us, Deborah? Because I can ask you all kinds of different questions, but maybe you just want to speak freely about your new book or about other things that you think are important to share with the listeners. So please go ahead.
Thanks, Martin. I think I'll talk about my new book because it's now being launched, and I'm quite excited about it because it really does go at this quantum guilt and shows the illusion of it. And not only that, it's an alive book. And what I mean by an alive book is that when people actually read this book, they have experiences themselves, deep experiences in some cases. I've had people phone me up and just go, oh my God, I just realized for the first time this or that, whatever it might be for that particular person. And so it's alive, and it reaches inside you and topples your illusions about reality, because I'm going at the illusions, everything we think we've always known to be true that isn't. And so a lot of us have resistance to that because we don't want our illusions toppled. We want to be able to be, we're kind of set in our ways, and we want to believe what we believe. But to experience enlightenment or any kind of opening or love or oneness, we have to have these illusions toppled. And that's what this book is about, so that we can get to that oneness. Because when guilt, this kind of guilt I'm talking about, dissolves, then enlightenment dawns. Then we're able to experience enlightenment. So that's the purpose of this book, is to topple these illusions. And so really what they discover is that knowing who they really are is the most important thing. So for us to know who we really are is probably the most important thing we could experience, because we've got so much pulling and pushing at us all the time, or in our world, all the systems, whether they're political, religious, or social, but they have no power over our true self. And that's where the yoke of guilt is broken. When we finally know who we are, we finally know that we're allowed to take a leap to freedom, because often we don't feel we're allowed. We feel we've got to stay back and not really let ourselves be all that we are because of, judgments from youth and so on and so forth. But when we feel like we're allowed to take a leap to freedom, allowed to be the love that we are, it can change our whole world. If all of us did that, our whole world would be different. And then we would see our freedom, and we'd experience our freedom, but we'd also see our innocence. That's what's missing, I think, Martin, because our innocence is what we don't see when we look at another. We see our projections. We see what we would like that person to be or what we think that person is. But who do we ever really see clearly? And that's the big problem behind our lack of oneness, because how can you be one with something that you're separating from already? So if someone comes towards you, instead of seeing the divine godliness in their eyes, we're seeing their physical body, or we're seeing their intellect or lack thereof. So I really feel that's so important, that we get to that place where we can penetrate to our core self and really come from. And so you have to read this book with an open mind and an open heart. and not be afraid of some of the things it challenges. I think it's quite challenging. It's been called groundbreaking and radical. I don't think it's groundbreaking and radical, and you probably wouldn't think it's groundbreaking and radical, but for some, I suppose it is. But it really is to show us what we really are, and what we really are is love and divinity and innocence. So that's kind of about my book.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Can you again repeat the title of your new book?
The new book is called Leap to Freedom, Healing Quantum Guilt.
Yeah, and people can find it on Amazon?
On Amazon, yeah. It's on Amazon. It's, you know, can be ordered from any bookstore. Do you want me to give you the information on this now?
Yes, please, yes.
Okay, so actually, yeah, Amazon for sure. But this is my website, www.devralavelle.com. Now, it's currently doing an upgrade. You know how life goes. You're just in the middle of a launch and your website isn't working. But anyway, not to worry. It'll be ready in a couple of days. But your listeners are welcome to visit www.themagicdoorway.com for information. That's what I'm using in the meantime about me and for signing up for my newsletter.
Oh, that's a great idea. I will do that right away. Yeah.
And now there's another thing I'm offering you and your listeners, Martin. I've got a wonderful list of gifts, and they're valued about $1,000 for everyone who purchases a copy of my new book, Leap to Freedom. You simply email me the purchase confirmation number, and my office will send you the contacts and links for the gifts. And these gifts are great. There's MP3 music, guided meditations, ebooks, discounts, Living from Truth, weekend workshops, and others. So, and if you tell your friends that you heard it on this show, this offer is open to you as to them as well. So it's open to everyone.
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah. So, Devra Lavelle, or actually www.themagicdoorway.com. That's where you can go at this point in time.
Yeah, that's how I found you, The Magic Doorway, yeah.
That's right, yeah. So, oh yes, my email is info@devralavelle.com.
Yes, and Devra, you spell
D-E-V-R-A-H. So, yeah, I hope you get that because I really believe in it. I really believe in what's in there because the other thing is I didn't really want to write the book because I thought, okay, I've done a book. That's good enough. But then I started being, what's the word, you know, when the masters want you to do something, I don't want to say tortured, but they wouldn't leave me alone. They wanted me to do this book. And I said, well, no, I really don't want to do a book.
It's like a divine mission that you have to do, that you have to work for the world.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. So yeah. It was interesting how it worked out where I said, no. It all was on the inside, of course. This is no master came up to me physically and said it. It was just the inside. And then I started scratching away and I made up a proposal, which I stashed away. I didn't really want to do it, so I stashed it away. And then I had to move. And after I moved, I found this proposal and I couldn't find a place to put it. I thought, oh, where am I going to put this thing? I'm not writing this book. I'm not going to do anything with this. So I tried to hide it away from myself. And then I couldn't hide it away. There was nowhere it would go because I have a small place. So then eventually I thought, okay, I'm going to send it to one publisher. And if that publisher picks it up, fine. If not, that's it. So I sent it to a publisher on a Sunday night, and they picked it up Monday morning. So that was pretty fast. So you see, when the masters want you to do something, you have to do it.
Yeah, it's going quite quickly. But, you know, I'm doing this radio show, and I met my friend Jeroen, back in 2010, and 3 years ago. And I spoke to him, and I was just starting another radio show, but I stopped there because this guy was a bit weird. But then I said, Jeroen, I hear that you're making a radio show, and he just showed me a beautiful picture on his phone from UFOs that flew over his house, or he saw where he lived back then. And I immediately started to make radio with him, and that's my mission. You see, your mission is to write books, Devra, and maybe to do other things to enlighten people. And my task is to do this, to make this radio show, so that people like you can tell their story and awaken the rest.
Wow, so, that's terrific. That's a great service, Martin.
Yeah,
very great.
But what I want to say is, you had this order coming by the mail on Monday morning, and you got things started with your book. Well, the same happened to me. You know, not in exactly the same way, but to make this radio show, it has been going on uninterrupted, and I do it three times a week, and every time I have a guest and I can tell the story. So when the masters want you to do something, it's really going to happen. And nothing can stop you. That's my
it's
point.
True.
Yeah.
You can't run away, can you?
You cannot, no. Because every time I'm reminded, I have a show with Devra today. I have to be present. I have to prepare myself, do some research. And it's always a responsibility, not in a negative way, but to be a nice host, and it can be demanding if you're not in tune with your energy. So I want to say that I always love to have enlightened people on the show like yourself, and it happened once or twice that I had people that went really into negativity, very dark things to do with conspiracy stuff, and I don't want to deal with it anymore. I really want enlightenment, because only positive news can transform the world. And if you focus on the negative, it's not going to help anybody. So, I'm very glad you're on the show, Devra.
Oh, thank you so much, Martin. There's a couple of little things I want to mention, Martin.
Yes, go ahead.
About little things people can do about this guilt. As I was saying, that you can experience instant enlightenment when we believe, or when we see, that we're not separate from all things. And once you realize that all comes from within, and that the world that you live in has not been projected onto you, but by you. So in other words, what we see out there is what we project out there, what we put out there. And because we do that, we can also pull it back and bring it to that place of love and innocence, so that we begin to love our world and not separate from it anymore. And it's kind of like as simple as shifting our focus from one state of being to another. Just as if you were uprooting a plant that's in the shade and then replanting it again in the sunlight. So that's what we try to do. You know, it's like we want to be able to actually take all that stuff that I talked about in the dream, all those unconscious demons that took the form of, you know, guilt and anger and war and whatnot, and bring it back and go, wait, no, what kind of world do I want? I want a world of love. I want a world. So you have to look at those things in yourself. It's not just something that you just pass off. It's something that you have to experience. This is what's going on inside of me, and I have to bring love to it. Because love is the thing that kills the guilt, basically. That's the
it puts it to death,
in other words.
Yeah, love is the strongest emotion there is in the world. Hey, and Devra, I have a question from Donna. She's on the chat. She's listening to the show, and she's asking you personally, and I will quote from her. I know life or life experiences are an illusion. I often see it with when I observe myself and others. But how do I internalize this? I do not feel that these experiences are an illusion. How do I perceive the feeling of oneness or love for myself to others?
Well, one of the things we need to do in order to bring that feeling of love and feel that feeling of love to others, because yes, you're right, Donna, it is difficult because we look out there and, you know, we see what we see is, like you said, you see the illusion, but you can't, is that correct? You see the illusion, but you can't bring that to the world in a certain way. So what we do is we have to forgive ourselves for everything that we're doing in a way, because we're going to have a lot of weird things come up, a lot of bad thoughts and a lot of negativity. This is just part of it. We're in that kind of time in history where we're transmuting all of this to bring it to the light. So we have to be easy on ourselves if we're not able to do that some days or at this time yet. Just have that be the goal. And every time you have guilt or every time you have pride or anger or anything that you want to project onto another, just see it more as a red flag to come back home to your source. So that way it's something you can use all the time in your life. Just see everything that you're putting outside yourself and maybe not being able to see others in the way that you'd like to. Just see it, okay, there's a red flag. I can't see them in the way that I like to. So I'm going to just go back inside myself and bring love to myself. Because if we're all one, then if we love ourselves, we're loving another. If we're hating ourselves, we're not going to like the other guys either. So it's really that simple, just loving ourselves.
I think that's the most clear answer I ever heard, Deborah. To love yourself, that's the most important. Yes, I agree. And I hope it makes it clear for yourself, Donna. I hope that answers your question. All right. So, Deborah, you were speaking about your experiences there. And do you want to share more light on your new book, or do you want to move to another topic?
Well, actually, there's a bit more in my new book. And this is something people get upset about a little bit. But it's not that upsetting. I kind of like it. I think it's quite exciting. I'm going to quote one of the masters that I've absolutely admired. And he's not alive now, but he, as I said, I've used the masters and the scientists in my book a lot because they match. You know, when the master says something, the scientist says something else, and it's a match. And that's what shows us that we are on the right track and we are going to that oneness in line with the masters and the scientists. So I'm going to quote this, okay? Is that all right? Ramana Maharshi, he's a great master. He said, "The force that brought you here knows every action that the body needs to take and will see to it that it takes those actions." So in a sense, what that's doing is that's getting rid of the guilt program right there and then. It's letting us surrender in a way that something much greater than us knows who we are and what we're supposed to do. And there's such a freedom to that. And now the scientists also agree, because they've been saying the same thing, like scientist David Hume and brain surgeon Benjamin Libet say that it takes a split second for the brain to react and for the mind ego to take possession of the thought and claim it is my thought. So they're proving that all these things that we think we do, we actually don't do. They've already been done before we've been even able to claim them as our own. Even the Buddhism, the Nirvana Sutras, says, "I am not the doer." That's one of their great teachings. I am not the doer. And that's the great teachings of all the masters. And the scientists are saying the same thing. There's multiple quotes about the oneness from the scientists now, as well as the great masters. So I think it's great in that science and spirituality are coming together to show us that we are that oneness. We are that love. And because we are one, we can't be the door because one thing can't do all this stuff. It happens in a certain way. It's just like one substance, so to speak. That's kind of a scientific concept, but once we're resting in that place, it's like sitting in the back seat of a limo and letting the divine source drive you. I mean, we've all had that experience where it just, we just relax and we know we're being driven. We know we're being taken. So that's probably one of the most healing things we can do to bring love to ourselves and our world, is to know that there's nothing wrong with anything that's happening. It's just the dream that we're in. And in that way, there's great peace.
Yes, there is. Well, that's beautiful. That's really touching. I'm really kind of impressed by what you're saying. Not only impressed, but also moved. More than that. More moved, yes. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I feel it's important, that we just bring such love to ourselves. We've been so tortured for so long.
Oh, yes. It's been very difficult, the journey.
It's been a difficult journey for a lot of us. And I think the more love that we can bring to our life, the better.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing that will persevere, that will bring us further. There's a saying in English, perseverance furthers, but I think love furthers, you know.
I agree with you, Martin. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do. I think that's really our... that's really our way to go.
And
just keep not looking at each other in judgment, looking at each other in love. And if we can't do it in that moment, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Just go back in and love yourself.
Exactly. Yes. And it's always or very often the case in our lives that we give love to others, that we do nice things for others, for our friends, for our family, but not to ourselves. We have to love ourselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's the key.
That's the key.
Yeah.
And you can only love somebody in a relationship or in a friendship if you totally love yourself.
Well, exactly. And if you don't like yourself, that's there because they're one with you, you're going to see that part of yourself reflected in them.
Exactly.
And if the whole world knew that, you know, Martin, we wouldn't even have war.
No.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean, this is the most simple thing in the world, and we've heard it over and over, but that's actually the key to everything, all the problems in our world.
Yes, that brings me to a world wholeness. Wholeness, you know, if you love yourself entirely, with not only your good qualities, but also your bad qualities, but love all of those aspects. All of those items that are you, it's a plethora of different aspects, but the whole picture, the wholeness, love the wholeness of yourself, and then you can love the wholeness in another.
Absolutely. That's what unconditional love is, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Loving the wholeness in everyone, including ourselves.
Yes. Hey, Deborah, I want to ask you, do you also give lectures or workshops? Do you do things locally, or do you attend seminars? Or
I give work. I work with people on the telephone, actually. I work with people from all over the world. And that I find that to be quite productive. We really, really do well on the phone. Because you don't have the distractions. People just like to be able to relax in their home, and yet we can still go really deep. And I, that's my web, my email, DeborahLavelle@info.
info@deborahlavelle.com.
info@deborahlavelle.com.
Yeah.
And so that's where I can be reached for a session. And that's how I do my work. And it's the two work well together.
Yeah, I'm going to write that email address on the chat so that people can reach you.
Oh yeah, yeah, that would be great.
Okay, Deborah Lavelle,
D-E-V-R-A-H And Lavelle, L-A-V-A-L.
Yeah. Okay, got it right now. It's a beautiful name, Devra. It comes from Deborah, right? Or Deborah. Actually, Deborah comes from Devra, I think.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's easy. You know, it's an easier name. To go with the long form of the name, there'd be too many letters to pronounce.
Yeah, I've worked in Israel, and I have worked with Professor Feuerstein, who helped autistic children from all over the world. And I've done musical therapy there. But I must tell you, it's such a wonderful country to be, despite all the negative news they give here and there in the media. The people are so loving and so warm. You know, if you say what you're doing there, you're always welcome to come for Shabbat or anything else. You know, it's beautiful. Uh-huh. It's a beautiful culture. And what I just want to say that straight to the radio, there is a tendency on spiritual websites and news blogs to demonize the Jewish people, but they have nothing to do with all those darkness what Illuminati are doing. And I just want to say that's my opinion. I think I'm also Jewish, and I think that people shouldn't blame the Jewish people for what's happening in the Middle East.
Well, no, because everyone's divine. That's our whole show, isn't it, Martin? Like, we're all one. It doesn't matter what's going on. We're all one. And so many people are caught up in somebody else's drama.
Yeah,
as you said, these beautiful people. I mean, there's some beautiful people that, you know, all over the world.
Everywhere are beautiful people. Everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, in every country, every city, every village are beautiful people.
Yeah. And they're innocent. They're all innocent at the big level. It's like if we want to talk about, say, God, for example. I mean, when God, and I'm saying this from my enlightenment experience, my experience of God or the allness of it, that God that I experience does not see us in a negative way, or only sees us as pure and innocent and forgiven from everything.
Exactly. Because we are all sparks of the divine. We are all children of one creator.
Exactly, yeah.
It doesn't matter what your background is.
What's that, Martin?
It doesn't matter what your background or culture is. It doesn't matter. And by the way, my show is also about ETs, you know, ET First Contact Radio. And I think we can become one with life in the universe if we understand that we are one on Earth.
Well, I think that's our job now. I think that's why they want me to write this particular book, because this is a core separation that we're dealing with here on Earth. And we have access to enlightenment once we work with this core separation.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, every page of the book has something else you can do to work with that and to work with yourself in that way. But if we can't get through our own core separation, it's going to be hard to work with the ETs.
Yeah.
So that's our job now. I think we're evolving ourselves
to become one with all life in the universe. Yes.
All life. Yeah, every life. It's true.
Yeah. Well, thank you from the bottom of my heart for this beautiful interview, Devra. You've been amazing. And you can always contact me when you want to share more with the listeners. And I'm going to put this interview on YouTube so that people can hear it afterwards, and you can put it on your website if you want.
Thank you, Martin. It was lovely. I really enjoyed our conversations.
I did as well, and I'm going to end with some beautiful music. So, Devra, I wish you all the best and all good things. I like the saying, all good things, you know.
I like it too.
All right. Namaste, and thank you.
Thank you. Namaste.